Hey, welcome to Edge Got In. We're at the episode 7 of our new year, 2017. And today's topic is called, What is Your Precious? What's Your Precious? Welcome to the Edge Got In podcast. For more information in terms of the details and to grab your one sheet, which we encourage you to get your one sheet if you want to go a little bit deeper in these podcasts, we're designing them to be grab and go so that you can grab 1 to 3 points, intentionally grabbing 1 to 3 points that you can grab, reflect upon, identify and adjust your behavior, integrate and act. So to get that one sheet to help you dismantle what you might learn today, simply go to edgegotin.com and you can find that at our website, the handout, the Bible study support sheet. So what's your precious? My husband and I spent the weekend, and we've got one more episode to watch of Tolkien's amazing depiction of the Lord of the Rings that really showcases the battle between good and evil. And he did a masterful job at grabbing the visual of what happens when man loses himself to something outside of him. Mm-hmm. And so today's question is to reflect upon, what have you given power to that has become your precious, your ring? For those of you who haven't seen Tolkien's work, The Lord of the Rings, highly recommended, particularly the second second episode, which is of the Two Towers, and it shows Gollum, which is known as the Unman, who has attached his identity to the ring, so much so that he really depicts this amazing conversation between Gollum with himself. It's basically Romans chapter 7. I know what I want to do, but I can't do what I want to do. And it's that constant inner struggle. But I'm going to begin with 2 Peter 2:19, which says, a man is enslaved by whatever has mastered him. Yeah. So my question to you today is, what has mastered you? 2 Peter 19 is really linked to the story in Luke 5:5 between Jesus and Simon. Simon had been fishing all night. He was exhausted. And so bring this story into your life. When recently have you felt exhausted? You have given it your all to accomplish something outside of you, whatever that is. For Simon, it was his whole well-being. It was his income, his ability to provide for his family. He had been fishing all night, casting down the nets, and it was very laborious work, and came in exhausted. And Jesus saw and identified with his exhaustion with compassion and said, go back out into deep waters. Jesus is always beckoning us beyond our comfort zone, asking us to trust him beyond our limits, to move past the fetish in our life, the precious, the outcome we've attached our identity to. And Peter's response was, man, I've been working all night. Are you kidding me? I haven't caught anything. And this is the flip side. Because you say so, Lord, I'll go out and cast my nets. Which he did. Jesus called him to a different space, and as a result, he had a huge harvest, so much so he could barely bring in the fish. So many times, God is calling us beyond our comfort zone, and yet we resist it. We stay in our boat of comfort because of fear, doubt, and worry. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery or the ring. What is your ring? Mm-hmm. Tolkien invites us to really reflect on 4 powerful entrapments that are associated to our ring, or that which we've given power to outside of us, that we've become enthralled by, to the point that we're forgetting ourselves, so we lose our identity. Rather than it's me, it's us. You guard it with your life. And so the 4 reflections are power, possessions, popularity, and position. The question for reflection here as we jump into these 4 areas is to truly reflect on, what is your precious? What is the fetish in your life that renders you under its spell? What's your ring that blinds you to the things of God and catapults you into worldly distraction? Mm-hmm. To pause and take some time to really get some clarity around, what is your ring? And there are four suggestions here of areas that we have a tendency as human beings to give power over to. And so the first one is, as we mentioned, it's power, popularity, possessions. Power, possessions, popularity, and position. So we're going to just mantle power first. Dr. Stella, why don't you jump into that? And thank you for being with us this morning and to assist in today's study on the ring, because this is a powerful study.
It's a powerful study. And as you were discussing, what is your precious, I have to say my flesh is gone through all of these.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, yeah. the power I wanted, the possessions I wanted to have. Be a popular, yay.
Yep, yep. Look at me. I want to be famous.
Am I the VP of everything or president, you know?
Yep.
So very powerful to really think about these things and dissect these things. And I agree with you, the imagery of ring is so, you know, even when I think of, I liken it to even weddings. And I hear women say, oh, but my ring is not big enough. So it's what are you thinking? What is that the vow in the ring? You know, so I totally agree with, and it can relate to this topic. So power is one of the things that we can do, right? Power over people and circumstance create a block of God's power. God has given us power to overcome. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God did not give us the spirit of being timid, but the power of love and self-control. Very powerful, right? We don't have to worry about being timid because we have his power. We have love and self-control. And we need this, and when we need power, we need the ability to surrender and to trust God to act and render in our lives. Power over people's responses to us is one of the things people seem to always do, right? Power over circumstances, power over our future and our past. God can give us all of this. So here's the solution. Surrender your will to God's will. I'm going to repeat that again. Surrender your will to God's will. Before transitioning your life, take a pause. Just think, listen, invite God's will and power into your situation. Here's a prayer, our thought. Dear God, I give you permission to guide what I say and what I do so that you are glorified in this situation. What do you want from me, Lord? How will I respond? Or how should I respond? What forward action steps do you want me to take? And now listen to what God says. This is where it's so important that we open our ears and listen, not to our thoughts, but what God says to us. Today or tomorrow, we will go to that city carrying our business to make money. Why? You don't want to know enough. What will happen tomorrow? You don't know. What is life? What's going to happen? Listen to God's word. You're the mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, I say, if it's the Lord's will that we live and do this and that, that's in James 4:13-7. So again, it's important for us to take this power and use God's power and his will over people and circumstances that block God's power for us.
That's such a powerful one. I mean, what is our life? We are a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. Instead, we should say, in the pause, when we are in a powerful power struggle, if it's the Lord's will, I'll do this. Do you want me to do this, God? So really, that's a great solution to really pause before transitions and invite God in. What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to respond? How often do we do that in our lives? That is one of the quickest ways to really break that stronghold of wanting power in situations. And manipulation usually walks hand in hand with wanting power. We'll manipulate to get what we want. So the second vice, or perhaps this is your main place of the ring that gets you, is in possessions. Jesus invites us to guard ourselves against every form of greed, for our lives do not consist in the abundance of our possessions, as we're told in Luke 12:15. As was the case with Frodo, when he possessed the ring, his whole attitude towards people around him flipped. And this is what's so powerful to watch it, because you can see it. When he lost himself in the ring, his eyes would kind of roll back and he would lose connection with people around him. And his attitude would be flipped from, he was a very humble, gentle person, but it would flip into anger and fear and threat. When we attach ourselves to anything but God, we truly become imprisoned by desire and want. I want this. I desire this. I need this in order to feel that I'm enough. And this just fuels selfish ambition and envy, as it's spoken about in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. That's an awesome reflection of scriptures, that we are fueled by selfish ambition and envy, which is the wisdom from the world, not from God. People before things is an indication of aligning ourselves with the wisdom that comes from heaven, which is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, meaning I consider the needs of other people around me, I'm willing to compromise, and sincere. This is the verse that is worthy of our reflection when it comes to possessions, because when we are leaning into our possessions, just reflect for a moment on your own behavior. What happens when somebody takes something of yours or borrows something of yours or perhaps bumps something of yours? How do you respond? Do you put things before people or people before things? So here are a few questions for reflection around the areas of possession to see if maybe this is your ring. This is where your ring lies, your precious. One, reflect on the possessions in your life that you have put before people. Two, invite the Holy Spirit into your attachments. What have you given yourself over to? We can have attachments to different kinds of possessions. What is your precious that possesses you? You know you have an attachment when the thought of losing it causes your heart to race and your mind to ruminate with fear of losing that which you possess. I remember when I lost my hair and my breasts in the midst of advanced cancer, and I realized that I formed an attachment to my appearance. It had truly become a possession of mine that I didn't even know I had until it was gone. I linked my worth and my value, my sense of beauty, to my breast and my hair. And it really gave me the opportunity to reflect on what is the most important attachment in my life. And I put this before you today. Have only one attachment and you will be free. Mm-hmm. Your heart to God. Have only one expectation in life, to be loved and adored by God. Release your attachment to your possession and just watch yourself this week to see how you guard your possessions and the times when you'll put things, even if it's a project, above a human being. This is an incredible opportunity to identify and adjust and lean back into God. And so we move on to the third area that perhaps is your ring.
And that is popularity. I'm sure none of us...
The fame game.
None of us suffer from that one.
Yeah, exactly. But, especially with the burst of social media.
But if you do, let's talk a little bit about it. Jesus was not confined by status or opinions of what anyone thought, right? When he walked this earth, he walked this earth with humility. He didn't care, he didn't concern himself with that. So what are we? Why should it matter if the whole world should come against you, if your heart is in fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What should it matter? What will you profit if you gain the entire world's attention? That's a great question. So what? You've got the entire world's attention. And what does that mean, especially if you forfeit your soul, right? So in a sense, and that's a really
good question. Actually our last podcast was talking about the norms and I mean your moral compass and ethics. If you compromise your moral compass and ethics in order to gain the world's attention, lose your soul.
You lose your soul, and does it really matter? Is it going to really get you to where you need to be? Mm. Another Mother Teresa, who's so brilliantly brilliant woman and godly woman, I would have loved to have met her. So really captured, God didn't put me here to be successful. He put me here to be faithful. Reflect on John 15:18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it's hate, it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. You belong to Jesus Christ. So you're not here to be liked. I liken that. This really reminds me of my father when he was in a church. In this church, he did everything for this church. He was there every day. He worked. He was a minister. But they never gave him any credit. And they were nasty, really nasty. And we walked up to him one time and said, "Dad, why are you here?" He said, "You don't get it. That's why I'm here. So that my light will shine. So for the benefit of all others, I'm doing God's work. This is where I need to be. I don't need to be in an area of acceptance. I need to be in an area where I'm not accepted so I can do God's work." Very awakening moment for me. So questions to reflect on. How do you check your social media? How often do you check your social media to see how many likes you receive? This is a big problem. And in one of my other podcasts, I talked about how people are so addicted to likes that it's causing mental illness. People are suicidal because of not getting enough likes. Mm. Their whole day is about people saying you're okay versus them knowing that they're okay. Mm-hmm. Another one is, do you give more authority to God's opinion of you or to people around you? God created us in his image. He said it was good. Nothing he created was bad. So why are we worried about what others say and not listen to what his word says of us?
I'm gonna jump in here on this because this one vision just came to me, like just thinking about this. I remember one time I was in deep prayer over this and praying for the grace to release all concern of what people think. Because there really is a grace, because the world screams and God whispers.
Right.
And the image that I got was of when Mary went to the tomb. They ran to the tomb to look for Jesus, and he'd already risen. And they meet the angel. And the angel's response to them, they were all, you know, wondering, where have they taken him? Mm-hmm. And his response was, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Mm-hmm. So when we look for our self-image, our sense of worth and value, that's outside of us. We are literally looking for the living among the dead. Mm-hmm. Everything we have is within our soul, our connection to God. We lack nothing in that space.
Yes.
So why are we looking for the living among the dead?
Yes. God said it. The angel said it, right? It
was brilliant. Right. Yeah. It's a great reflection. I was very convicted by that because I'm I'm running around in tombs,
yes,
looking for my identity when everything I want, everything I desire exists within me. Are you so foolish, yes, after beginning with the spirit? Why are you trying to attain your goal by human effort?
Yes.
Stay in the castle. Pull up the drawbridge. Amen. Stop farming out your identity so that your peace can return.
Exactly. And then the last one before the final one is, how do you respond when someone insults or criticizes you? I always ask for the word. I would always give me the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's important to know how to respond. And that goes into another one of, you know, the last podcast about self-reflections, and, you know, one of our podcasts about self-reflection, self-actualization, all those things is how you should think before you respond. And mm-hmm. and be as Jesus would be. What would Jesus do? WWDJ, what would mm-hmm. you do?
That's so powerful.
Yes.
That's so powerful. And that, and literally the fame game, popularity flows and walks hand in hand with the last area of reflection. Is this your ring? Position. So we've gone over so far the four, which is the power. Does it lie in power? My need to have power over people and circumstance. Is it possessions? Putting things before people. Is it popularity, the fame game? I need to be seen, acknowledged, and recognized to know that I have value. Or is it position? And an awesome scripture to reflect on this with position is Matthew 20:16, which says, the last will be first and the first will be last. Mm-hmm. Jesus' mentality on position was entirely different. God's mentality mm-hmm. on position is entirely different than the world, particularly in America. Mm-hmm. We have so many shiny objects that mm-hmm. we've lost our identity in, and we think we need these shiny objects in order to be in a good position, where We're told in Matthew 20, 26 through 28, instead, whoever wants to be great, do you want to be great? Mm-hmm. You want to be great? Then you must be a servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Mm-hmm. And to give his life as a ransom for many. So there are four reflection questions here with this last area that perhaps dominates your precious or your ring. The first one is, when has it been difficult for you to be last mm-hmm. or overlooked? This is a powerful reflection because it will reveal to you where you have a vice. Something that you've given power to, where in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. So this is a yoke of slavery. When was it difficult for you to be last, to be overlooked? The second reflection question is, what does it feel like for you to serve someone else over your own gain in life?
Yes.
To support somebody else's platform or calling over your own. What does that bring up for you? Mm-hmm. The third question is, have you ever prayed? This is a powerful one, and this hit me a couple months ago. Have you ever prayed for the success of others over your own? This is a powerful prayer that goes hand in hand with the next question of reflection. How have you responded when someone else has gotten something you wanted, a promotion, a better grade, a position of rank or status? Explore praying for the grace. And I can assure you, because I've been praying for this for several months when the Lord put this on my heart, it is a grace. So a gift freely given by our own self-centered, self-oriented, edge God out nature. This is a grace we need to rejoice with other people's success over our own. When you've mastered this, you are truly free. When you master this, you will reach a new level of internal freedom over the ring of possession.
I'm going to jump in real quick. I was going to tell you, the Holy Spirit came to me. It's an art to learn how to follow. And following can be more powerful than leading. And we are not taught that. It's against everything we're taught. But you need to understand how to follow. Because if you follow, you'll be better leaders.
Absolutely.
It's nothing we've taught. And we're always taught, I want the next position. I want to be. But God, there is so much wisdom that comes out of being a follower, and so much inspiration and support you give to leaders that you become valued almost more. So I just wanted to interject that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's because they'll see your good works and give glory to God.
Yes.
As we're told. And the grace and the humility, true greatness walks through the archway of humility and love.
Amen.
And thinking it, just as John the Baptist's prayer says, more of you, dear God, less of me. Yes. So we invite you to really reflect. This is a powerful study. Really print this out. We'll have the study support sheet with all these notes for you to go over this and listen to this again. Really sink into asking the Holy Spirit, where is my vice? What is my ring? Is it power, possessions, popularity, position? What is it? Have high noticing around what flares you up, because that will be an indication of an attachment. An attachment indicates your ring. It's an emotional state of clinging due to the belief that without something, circumstance, or outcome, I can't be happy. Yeah. And Jesus calls us out and up from that and into his joy and peace that passes all human understanding. Lord, we thank you for this time today. We pray for the grace of discernment. Show us what our ring is. What is our fetish? What are we giving more authority to than to you for our sense of worth and value? Protect us from shiny objects. When we put something good out into the world, grant us the grace of protection. Help us to release the need to check to see how many people look at it, how many people respond to it. Help us to do what we do and forget about it so that we can take all of our attention and place it on you and simply in humility and love ask your direction. Where would you have me go next? And then do what we do, forget about it, move on, and turn back to you as quickly as possible. Forgive us for the times when we've clung to the ring, to the precious that we've given power to define us, that has burdened us and blocked our ability to access the freedom of Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom you have set us free. Mm-hmm. So give us the grace of discernment to know what has enslaved us, because we've become a master to that. And it is for freedom you've set us free. Give us the grace to stand firm and not allow ourselves to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Okay. More of you, dear God, less of us. More of you, dear God, less of us. Have your way with us in spite of ourselves, and help us to close the gap in our ability to hear and respond to your voice alone that confirms our worth and value and guides us on the path that you have called us to go in this world. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Give him heaven, and we look forward to another podcast.
Bye, y'all.